A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sandpits Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins, and unfortunately, my co-host John Valenzuela is off raising a baby.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, unfortunately, my co-host for today is Jackson Bailey.
What I was going to say next. Also, unfortunately, my co-host for today, filling in John's enormous
foot shoes.
we have one of the hosts of Thumb Cramps, Plumbing the Death Star, and his new show, Baseless Speculation, all on the Sandspence Network. Jackson, mother flippin' Bailey is here.
Whoa! Oh yeah! What's cracking?
It's been a long time since we did an episode of All the Small Games together. We've done multiple episodes of other podcasts together.
Yeah, yeah.
But the last time we did an episode of All the Small Games with you, Jackson, was with Joel Zammit as well. You, me, John, and Joel were all inside a weird hotel guy that you guys were staying in Sydney.
We did it like around a card table. It felt very strange.
Yeah. And it was the first time anyone introduced Zammit to the game Slay the Spire.
Oh, wow. Wow. That was that moment. The thing that has consumed his life.
And what's great about that is that I thought, oh, Jackson will like this. Wow. And I showed it to you and you were definitely not my thing.
Yeah, no, thank you.
And then Joel was looking over your shoulder like, what is that? And if you listen to Thumb Cramps, I think Joel put in over 100 hours into that game.
Absolutely. And it's still like occasionally he'll start playing it again and just he'll be gone again. We'll lose him off to the ether. It's crazy. That man has a problem, you know?
So, if you are aware of Jackson, you'll know that he has a love of Nintendo 64 era games.
I do. I don't know what it is, but it's the last time video games were good. I can't explain it, but every time I pick up a modern game, I'm like, like Pokemon Snap. I've been playing Pokemon Snap, and I'm loving it. It's probably one of the most, like, my favorite modern games that I've played in a long time. But then I hit a certain point where I'm like, there's so much to do. God, nothing's clear.
Playing this for 3 hours. Why isn't this over yet?
Somebody wrap it up. Give me the end credits so I can move on with my life. And then I'm like, let's see what Nintendo 64 games are available in the Nintendo Switch store, because I have not, for some reason, bought a Nintendo 64, even though, like, that seems like the obvious choice. And
yeah, fully.
Wow.
Jackson and I have a deal where at the end of each year, we play each other's games of the year. I don't know how the deal was forged, but it happened this way.
No one can remember how it began. Yeah.
That has resulted in playing Blasphemous and not enjoying it.
Yeah.
And Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Which I loved. Had a great time with.
So we're one from two for me.
Yeah, and that's resulted in you playing, obviously, Turok 2 Seeds of Evil and Star Wars Episode 1 Podracer, which are both, I assume you've loved.
Three from two somehow. they are both Nintendo 64 games that were ported to the Switch, and they both happen to be your games of the year.
They were my games of the year 2019 and 2020. And who knows what's going to be 2021. It's very exciting.
So on today's episode of All the Small Games, I am going to review a game that I am pretty sure you would love because it is a love letter, I guess, to that era of gaming. An extremely hard love letter.
Oh, that's good.
It's a game called Blue Fire. And then you are just straight up reviewing a game that I think was on 64.
Yeah, it was. I think it was, I don't know if it was called Duke Nukem 64 when it was on the 64, but on the Switch it's called World Tour, which might be like the sort of like special edition of Duke Nukem 64, but that is definitely what I'll be reviewing, and boy howdy, what a game.
That's amazing. That's so great. So, I mean, look, if anyone wants to look into to my future, I think at the end of the year, this is a game I'm going to have to play too.
It's not impossible. It's not impossible.
So, we're going to be talking about Blue Fire and Duke Nukem 3D. And because I'm not entirely sure if Duke Nukem 3D counts as an indie game, we're going to do Blue Fire first.
That's fair. That's very reasonable.
So Blue Fire is a game developed by Robi, R-O-B-I Studios, and published by Graffiti Games. We have talked about a few games published by Graffiti Games over the last few weeks. Most recent was Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Is that game on your radar? I've seen that. Yeah. It's on my radar in that I think I saw it. It's on the Switch store, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw it scrolling past looking for Nintendo 64 games, but I did see it. It looked good.
And yeah, so there's Robi Studios based in Argentina. Mm-hmm. They're a pretty small studio, and it is a marvel that they were able to pull off what they did. When I first heard of Blue Fire, it was kind of pitched as 3D Hollow Knight. And I was I think I'm in.
That's appealing,
So this came out in February this year, and so far it is on it's on PS4, Switch, Xbox, and Steam, so it's, you can play it almost everywhere. And you basically, like, okay, here's tick one in the Jackson Bailey department.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I've been playing this for 6 hours. Uh-huh. Couldn't tell you a single moment of story. You know, I couldn't tell you a character's name.
Levins, I'm sold. That's all I need.
There's no voice acting. There is a little bit of text that you can cycle through very quickly if you ever encounter a person. But there's one guy who loves elevators.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
So that's fun. What are your thoughts on elevators, Jackson?
I like elevators. I think I'm more of an escalator man, though. If I have to pick between a later. Escalators are cool and a bit dangerous. You know, every time you're on an escalator, briefly, no matter how many times you've been on an escalator, you imagine it de-skinning you, you know? Like, you're going to get to the bottom and going to get sucked in and just be muscle for the rest of your life.
The worst Final Destination movie, I think, 4.
Yeah,
Has one of the best deaths in it, and it is a death by escalator. The only good death in the entire movie is a death by escalator.
Dying by escalator is cooler than being killed by an elevator, I think. But I think more people probably are killed by elevators in the long run.
Very, very, like, you know, Zelda-esque story. So speaking of Zelda, this game, I would say if you were to mix a little bit of Hollow Knight, and I'll get into, like, you know, the elements that they've taken. A little bit of Hollow Knight, but the overall look reminds me a lot of Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. Specifically, when you become Deku Link, the little
fellow with the tube mouth.
You actually look. So imagine Deku Link, Jackson,
looking it up,
holding two swords. And that is your character in this game. The story is like you know, your standard darkness versus lightness, and classic. Your main character, apparently he has both darkness and lightness within him.
He does look cool, because I remember watching trailers for this when I think the trailers first started coming out, and does it play more like a Zelda game?
Can you remember from when they first came out or from when I sent it to you last night?
Who can say? All I can tell you, Levins, is I have in my life watched the trailer. Okay, exactly good. When is anybody's guess? Does it play more like... Because something I always think is that the 3D platformer as a genre is dead. I don't remember the last... It seems like no proper 3D platformer that's come out recently, even including stuff like Yooka-Laylee or whatever, has recaptured the weight and the feel of like earlier 3D platformers. But this one looked maybe close. But I'm wondering, does it play more like a 3D platformer, or more like a kind of like a weird hybrid of that and whatever Zelda is? Like,
it is very combat focused, and I thought that a lot of the difficulty, because I heard about how difficult this game was, I thought it was going to come from the combat, but actually the combat all the situations I've been in so far, the bosses, I beat all the bosses on the first try, and I've very rarely died from combat-related mishaps. It's very easy to, like, you have, there's like a dash mechanic, a parry mechanic, you have like a shield that you can, like, you know, there are like souls elements or whatever to the way you fight, but it's very, very like light. It's pretty easy to get your head around. The difficulty, and goddamn the difficulty, comes from the 3D platforming, because
that's great.
You are traversing this, like, first you're in this like dilapidated castle, and you've got to fight a bunch of monsters within the castle, and then you get out of the castle and you're in these new areas. First you have to get make your way down some elevators, and then you're in a sewer part. And if you fall off a pipe, and the pipes are very narrow, so you're going to fall off a lot, you fall in the goop, and that's like you then respawn, and you've lost two of your health stars, your health hearts. You know, your health hearts.
Yeah, I get it. That's appealing, though. Like, that's, I feel like difficult platforming is something that has been like de-emphasized in, because like I'm trying to think of like what games that are close to like a 3D platformer. For some reason, all I can think is like Tomb Raider and like
Mario.
Uncharted. But Mario, I guess Mario, like your sort of Nintendo games have somehow managed to keep that like magic of the 3D platformer. But I think a lot of it is the platforming is not I guess Mario, it is kind of the point. But I feel like there's a lot of modern platforming games where they're like, the platforming is sort of secondary. So it's nice to hear about a game where they're like, this is going to be the challenge. The challenge for you is literally just traversing the game. Like, that's very appealing to me.
So there is the challenge that comes from within just traversing the actual levels themselves. Yeah. But, you know, you've played a Zelda game. If you start with 3 hearts, you know how you know you're going to encounter enemies that can take off 5 hearts at one time. So you're going to need to get some more hearts. In Zelda, you find you find pieces of heart, or you get gifted a heart every time you beat a boss. In this, you come across challenge rooms. I can't remember what they're called. They're called like curses or some shit.
Something like that, yeah.
Voids. They're called voids. Because you find the void, you enter it, and it is this big empty space with a bunch of platforms on it, and you have to do this balls hard platforming challenge. And
that then rolls.
And collect 30 orbs within this floating level. It's very similar to, do you remember like the challenge levels in Super Mario Sunshine?
Like
the bird that's flying, and you've got to get all the coins up its back and shit. It's very similar to that. When you find a void, it'll tell you, like, you know, this is, you know, a 1-star out of 5 difficulty void. But I finished a 4-star difficulty, and goddamn did I die a lot of times. But I died a lot of times on the 1st and 2nd star difficulty ones too. When you start, you have just like a jump and a dash. Mm-hmm. So you can make long distances by doing it, like holding down B to jump as far as you can, and then dashing at the perfect moment to time it to land on where you go. And in those challenge rooms, there'll be platforms that like fall within a second of you landing on them. So you've got to be quick. You then unlock an ability that allows you to run along walls.
Stamina bar.
So you kind of you run, and you slowly descend, and then you've got to jump off at the last moment and then go over to where you need to go.
That's sick.
So that they play with that a lot. And then you get a double jump.
Do you remember the Matrix game for like the PS2?
Unless it's your game of the year 2021, I doubt I'll ever play that game.
Maybe.
That would be amazing if like your end game is like choosing like something on a defunct console that I have to.
Yeah, making it as difficult as possible for you to. You get to buy a fucking Sega Genesis or a.
With a Dance Revolution map.
Yeah. Game of the year. It's just a cruel prank. No, and I've actually also never played this Matrix game, but I watched a friend play it when I was 12, and that had a similar mechanic where you could run along walls and you could flip off walls like in the Matrix. It was cool.
Yeah.
Maybe I got to track that game down. But yeah, it had the same kind of running on walls in video games. It's one of the best feelings. That and doing a wall ride in Tony Hawk, which is similar, I guess.
They tried to doing like a running on wall thing in Marvel's Avengers last year, and it actually did not feel good at all. So much else in that game, it did not feel good.
That sucks. I remember the running on walls thing was great in the classic Spider-Man 2 for the PS2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
One of the best.
No better running on walls than that. Spectacular.
But look, Blue Fire could give Spider-Man 2 the ultimate wall running game, a ride for its money.
Goodness. Somebody's knocking out the king. Damn.
You also, you unlock a double jump, and then you also unlock a spin attack. So there are some gaps where you're like, I can't possibly make that when you first come across it. But the Metroidvania element comes in because once you put together your jump, your dash, your double jump, and then your spin attack, then you can actually go quite far, which is cool, chaining all those things together.
Yeah,
and also
yeah.
leaves so much room for fucking up.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's sick, though. Looking at the trailers, it looked like it would be not only hard to navigate physically, but the kind of, maybe that's just my bad brain, but easy to get lost in the worlds. Like,
yes,
is that,
definitely. Weirdly, there's no map, or there is, and I have no idea how to look at it.
Mm. Yeah,
both could be possible. Because you're platforming around the same areas, you really get to know them inside and out.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So you don't really get super duper lost, but I'm probably at the midway point of the game, so who knows how much more lost I could possibly get. I'm loving it though. It is it's like a Nintendo 64 Zelda game where you play as Deco Link with swords and there are Super Mario Sunshine challenges. There's also so many upgrades you can get, and at first you're like, how the hell am I going to get all the ore I need to buy these things? And I've just gotten this thing that I get double the ore, and I got the biggest wallet in the game, Jackson. I'm just farming ore at the moment.
Yeah, that's sick.
It's kind of like, because the combat is just kind of fun on the easier side of things, you'll spend maybe an hour or two, half an hour to an hour, beating one of the voids, or getting past a particularly hard platforming bit, then be like, okay, cool, I've saved now. Now I'm just going to go to a place where there's heaps of enemies and just slash my way around and enjoy myself.
That's sick. It's nice that they've kind of done the opposite of the problem I find I have with a lot of modern non-Nintendo platformers, where they've kind of de-emphasized the combat. They're like, wow, that's just the fun whatever. It's the platforming that counts. What would you say, you made me think of this, what would you say is the most satisfying video game challenge, I guess, to complete? Like a difficult platforming puzzle, a difficult combat encounter, a difficult puzzle. What gives you the most satisfaction? Because I'm thinking, what's it called? Like the City of Something? You know the Hollow Knight puzzle section? Like completing that was euphoric. When I got to the end of that, with the Path of Pain as well? Yeah, the Path of Pain. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Getting through that was, I just felt such a legend.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, what a beast I am. And then I remember when I played it a second time, or maybe even the third time, breezing my way through it and being like, I guess I'm the greatest gamer that's ever lived. You know what I mean?
The hardest platforming challenge in Hollow Knight for me was there are those big, millipedes or centipedes that come up through the ground. And you have to do this big section where you have to bounce your sword off their pincers and to collect, Jesus. A part of a void heart or whatever the hell they call this stuff.
Yeah.
But
I did it.
I think it's one of the, because I got 106% in Hollow Knight.
Oh yeah.
But nice. Before they launched the last of the DLC, and I was just like, I'm good. I'm not gonna do that shit.
That'd be fine.
But that was one of the hardest things I ever did. That and some of the boss fights, I guess. The grim scout leader, whatever his name is, he sucked.
I don't think I even did any of the DLCs. I just finished it before any of the DLCs came out, and then was like, I'm good, Hollow Knight. You know.
Well, I mean, with that in mind, man, I think you would really like Blue Fire.
It sounds like it.
Definitely go into this though knowing that it doesn't hold your hand. It doesn't really usher you around. It's slightly more linear when it starts, and then it just kind of you're just like, okay, find your way around now. There's a few multiple paths, a few different things you can do, and you're going to die heaps. Enjoy.
Yeah. I'm not against that. Dying heaps is good, you know? I'm sure, if you've listened to Thumb Cramps, you would remember the story I brought up where I played Wario Land 3 and I died so many times that the frustration became sexual somehow. I get it. Nothing wrong with dying heaps. That's happened to my body that day? Who can say? But no, that sounds amazing. It sounds completely up my alley. I'm so into it. And I keep seeing it on the Switch store and being like, oh, do I? But I feel like when I saw the trailers, it had the potential to be one of those games where you're like, maybe if they'd had a little more money or some more direction, this would be great. But it's just I don't know. You know, there's a certain kind of 3D platformer that comes out on the Switch store that's dog shit, you know?
Yes, totally.
Kind of, I mean, where you're like, what is this? Like, this is so kind of poorly put together. But it sounds like it's great. So I reckon I'll definitely give that a go. Once I finish Duke Nukem World Tour, obviously.
Yeah, so if you have a Switch, I think it's on sale on the Switch shop at the moment. It should be between like $15-$20 depending on where you are in the world. And I would definitely recommend it. It is really difficult, but there's so much charm to it. And I'm in, baby.
You're hooked.
This is going to be a game that I come very, very close to 100%ing until I realize some of the final challenges are just way too hard. I'm going to call it, this is a 92% game for me.
92%? Fuck.
That's what I'm going to aim for. It's a level of.
Oh, right. I thought I didn't think you had like different ratings, but all right, 92%. Yeah, cool.
Maybe that's how I'm going to rate my games now. Is the percentage of completion I plan to get.
Yeah. That's a great way to rate games because it's honest. You know, you can say a game's 5 stars or whatever, and you're like, but I'm only going to play 15%. And saying a game is like, oh, it's like a 30% game tells you so much more. That's a great way to rate games. Man.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, you can rate this next game that same way. Of course, we are about to talk about Duke Nukem 3D.
Duke Nukem 3D, i.e. Duke Nukem World Tour. So obviously, I for some reason love Nintendo 64 games. Like, it's not like I had a Nintendo 64 as a kid. No games though, for some reason. But I had the console, and I was thinking about what my game of the year, because I'm playing Pokemon Snap and I'm really enjoying it. And I'm like, but obviously Pokemon Snap came out this year. It could never be my game of the year. So I was like, what Nintendo 64 games are available on the Nintendo Switch? And there's Turok and Turok 2. So Turok 1 is apparently out for it, and I considered that. And then, obviously, there's Pod Racer. Doom 64 is there as well. But then I saw Duke Nukem World Tour, and I was like, well, it's the Duke. I got to give it a go. And can I just say...
It's the Nuke Man.
It's the Nuke Man. If I had to describe Duke Nukem World Tour in one way, it would be severely fucked up. So...
But before we get into it, can I... What your history with this character? Do you have one?
Okay, of course. So I remember, I think the same friend that I watched play the Matrix game, I also remember watching play this game specifically, Duke Nukem 3D on the Nintendo 64. It was a game that I watched them play, but I didn't ever play myself. I had a strange relationship with this friend where I would just go to their house and watch them play games. I would never be allowed to play games myself.
Yeah, I was a watcher too, until early high school. My dad got his work were giving away old computers. Mm. And so our first computer was like some dog shit old, IBM 386 or something. I don't know. Mm. I could just be saying random letters and numbers, but it was a very, very low memory. Like it was a slow piece of shit. But at the same time, in that era of the 90s, you could go to any $2 shop and you could buy shareware games on discs, on floppy disks. So I had a very extensive collection of floppy disks from the $2 shops. And I had Duke Nukem 1 or Duke Nukem 2. So specifically, like, the way they would do it was they would do, like, a freeware or a shareware.
Yeah.
They would release, like, the first part of, like, three chapters or whatever of each game. So I've played through the first part of Duke Nukem 1 and 2 so many times. And
that rules.
Like, yeah, like a scrolling, you know, run and gunner, I guess, where you play, like, this, you know, American hero named Duke Nukem, and you've got to save the world from space aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And that, then
yeah.
I didn't have a console or a computer powerful enough. It was PC only, wasn't it, Duke Nukem?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
What was it called? Duke Nukem 3D. And I never had anything powerful enough to play 3D, but I remember any time I would go to a friend's house, I was like, oh, dude, check it out. You can do a shit in this game.
Yeah,
you can throw money at strippers and then shoot them. Like,
Oh, absolutely. It was... And, like, that is a crazy thing playing through this. You're like, the amount of interactivity is, like, so much more than I would have expected for a game of this era. But, like, what you're doing with that interactivity, it, you know, is it worth your time? But no, I did the same thing. I had heaps of floppy disks for my parents' old computer, except mine were all, like, Commander Keen and Jazz Jackrabbit and some other game where you played as, like, a... some alien and you could suck onto walls.
Cosmos Cosmic Adventure.
Yeah, that's the one. So I had them and I did exactly the same. There was only like the first couple of levels or whatever.
So it was either like id Software or Apogee put out so many like iconic games for that era of my life.
I think I went to a swap meet with the friend who I would always watch play video games, and he was like, you can just buy floppy disks. And I was like, and that's when I got them all. It was crazy. But yeah,
you would finish. Yeah. I'm not done here yet.
No.
I remember you would finish the first part, like the end of the floppy disk, and then in like a graphic would come up on the screen, and it would be like, almost like a trailer for the rest of the game. Yeah. And it's like, all you need to do is mail a check or a money order to this address and we'll send you back the rest of the game. Yeah. I never did. Cause that just,
oh, of course not.
You never bought anything online or anything like that. It was insane.
No. It's so funny as well with those games. Like somehow I would just, so I'd have like, say the first three levels of Jazz Jackrabbit and I would play them. And then the floppy disk would run, like it would be over. And then I would just play them again. Like somehow, like I couldn't do that these days, but my like 7-year-old, 8-year-old brain was like, it's still good. It's still fun
to do.
Doesn't
get better than this. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy. And I think as well, because I did exactly the same thing with Tony Hawk Underground. I played that game to death. Like, I played every level to the point where I figured out how to glitch behind all the walls, to glitch to the top of every building, like every facet of that game, because I guess that's all I had. And now, like, I play a game for 10 minutes and I'm like, I'm bored. I want something new. What happened? What happened to my attention span? Fucking hell.
Maybe all games should just be available on floppy disks again.
I think that would make things better. I think that would... I mean, I don't know how fucking... Like, 160 gig Call of Duty, how many floppy disks that is. One metric ton
just
of floppy
one,
disks.
One picture from the game. Yeah. Just look at it all day.
Yes! Worth it! Fuck. So, yeah. So, when I saw Duke Nukem, I'm like, I gotta do it. Oh, and also, I played Bulletstorm. And on Bulletstorm, there was in the one that came out on the Switch, or maybe it was a re-release, they had a thing where you could play as Duke Nukem instead of the protagonist. And it was funny because, like, it was not a very fun game, but it was funny because Duke Nukem, all of his voice lines were the only thing that was different. So they'd be like, you know, like, Dave or whatever, we got to get out of here. And he'd be like, who are you calling Dave? It was just so ridiculous, but like, so
fun. I know comic book writer Rick Remender, I think, did all the writing for that game.
Oh, that rules. Well, I hope that he did the writing for Duke as well.
Yeah.
So of Duke Nukem World Tour, I have only played and completed the first, I haven't played it for very long, but I've only played and completed the first section. You can start any, there's like, I guess, like, stories you can do. They don't seem connected. They're all about aliens, certainly, but they don't seem like one doesn't lead on to the other. And they're like, the one I've completed is called Hollywood Holocaust, and then there's one where you go to Mars, and then there's like a couple of different ones, and each one has about five levels in it. So I've only completed Hollywood Holocaust so far. But some choice moments. So it's a first-person shooter. It's every enemy is on a 2D plane, which makes hitting them very difficult because sometimes they'll turn on their side and then there's nothing to hit. And that's very frustrating, especially when they're flying. It's a nightmare. The enemies are like weird lizard men and pigs wearing LAPD outfits. They're cops, but they're pigs. Very funny, Duke Nukem.
Very brave.
Well done. Very brave, exactly. But an early moment, right, I'm playing the game, first level of Hollywood Holocaust, and I come across a woman trapped in goo, and I'm like, what do? I go up to her, I press the interact button, nothing happens. I'm like, can I do anything? And she's like, kill me. And I'm like, I have to kill this woman. So I kicked her to death, and that's what Duke Nukem wanted me to do. You either leave her suffering or you kick her to death.
Yeah,
and that's great. What I mean by this game is severely fucked up. I'm like, I don't feel good doing this. Then later on, another choice moment is I'm in a level called The Abyss. All right, I was in a level called The Abyss, and it's like a big cliff kind of complex or whatever, where you're kind of exploring these cliffs, and you can fall off the cliffs into the like water below or whatever. And at one point, you're going down the cliffs, and everything goes red, and it's already like everything's tinted red, and it's already a very difficult game to navigate because nobody thought about like making stuff stand out when they made this game. For example, in The Abyss, I found out only toward the end of the level that there are actually buttons everywhere, but they're handprints, but they're so pixelated that they just look like wall texture, so they're a nightmare to find, and even more difficult to find when everything's tinted orange. So I'm searching around, I'm like, where the hell am I meant to go? And I see a little handprint, and I'm like, finally. Like, I've been searching for like 10 minutes. I'm like, ah, the handprint, hidden. Great. Press the handprint. It opens up a little cave. I go down the cave. In the cave, there's a fire, a nude woman dancing around the fire, and some health. And Duke Nukem's like, holy shit, didn't expect this. And I'm like, no, I don't want more boobs. I need to know where to go, Duke.
And then the woman says, kill me.
Yeah, kill me. Kick me to death, Duke Nukem. In the level Red Light District, which is the second level of Hollywood Holocaust, there is a strip club. And you can go up to the strippers and you can give them money. Duke does a little gesture of giving them cash. Some of them, they flash their breasts, which have tassels on them. Some of them do nothing. I'm sure in the 90s this seemed cool, but doing it now, I just feel like, I'm like, Duke, stop spending money on this. You're not getting anything. Duke, please.
Especially because you don't really like have, you don't, it's like you're collecting money at any point.
Duke's personal money. Yeah, he doesn't.
You spend enough money on nothing else in the game.
Yeah, exactly. But he'll just be like, oh yeah, nice, baby. Yeah, oh yeah, nice. You're like, Duke, think about your bottom dollar. God damn.
Think about Mrs. Nukem at home.
Yeah, exactly. The little Nukem twins.
The Duchess of Nukem.
The best thing about the game is absolutely Duke's beautiful dialogue. So I don't know if this was in the original game. I assume not, but it's a nice feature because the game is bullshit, is that when you die, you go to the, like, you've died screen, and then there's effectively, like, you can rewind the level up to wherever you were, up to any point in the level, really. So you could go all the way back to the start, or you could go just before you died and try that section differently again. But every time that happens, he's always like, this is starting to piss me off, or I hate when this happens, which is always very funny. You can press a button. You press Y, which is the interact button. Normally that opens doors, presses buttons, but sometimes it just makes Duke go, ugh.
That's right. I remember that.
There's a grunt button. Just, ugh, why? Why is he making that noise? Does it mean something's nearby? I can't tell. I genuinely have no idea. It's incredible. It's got, and this is weird. So in Turok 2 Seeds of Evil, there's a map, but it's the worst map in the world because it's just like wire. Like, it's like a wire map. It's impossible to navigate. You've got no idea. Duke Nukem has the same map. I don't know why.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's what they call
it. Turok 2's map.
God damn, this is the fucking ancient seagull Rome full of dinosaurs map. Not downtown LA or whatever the hell it's meant to be. But there's a second version of the map, which is like a top-down, colored-in version of the wire map, which is a little bit easier to navigate. But why they included both, I have no idea. You can turn on your adult-only content, so if you don't want nipples or breasts with tassels on them, I guess you can get rid of that.
Have you found the poo yet? The poo in the toilet?
I don't think so. I did piss at one point, which was pretty good. Yeah, but I think you can poo as well. Or that might have been in Duke Nukem Forever, the most recent one, where you can pick up a shit and throw it at people. I'm not sure. But I know
I just Googled Duke Nukem poop. Turdberg. Yeah, that's trophy. A good. Poo I can reckon be found in from... toilets. Yeah, it's in Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah, okay, not Duke Nukem.
The technology
but you
wasn't
in...
there yet.
Yeah, they didn't have the good poop technology quite yet. Oh, yeah, when you kick, so I don't know what this is about, right? There's a lot of things in this game that I don't, like I can accept, but I don't know the reason behind. So your weapons, at least in Hollywood Holocaust, are you can kick, you get a pistol, you get a shotgun, you get pipe bombs, you get an RPG, and you get like a machine gun type thing, basically. But you can also, and you can select kicking as like a weapon you want to use. But you can also press R3 and it kicks. But when it says that, when you use that to kick, it says mighty foot engaged. And I don't know what that means. I don't understand at all. There's a power up you can get called Hollow Duke, which I also don't understand the function of. You just put up like a little Duke Nukem and he just is there. And I thought, oh, maybe it'd draw the fire of the enemies, but it doesn't. And I don't know what he does. He just is there. It's very confusing.
It's great.
I'm trying to think what else is this. Well, a cool thing about this that I've not experienced yet, but I would love to, and I probably will at some point, is that I'm fairly sure you can do all of it co-op with up to three people. So you can play the entirety of Duke Nukem 3D, Duke Nukem World Tour with your friends, which is great. What an excellent addition to the game. A lot of kicking each other, I imagine. It's I don't know if it's just like these old games, but it is so hard to navigate and figure out where the hell you're meant to go most of the time. There's a lot of like you need the red card or the blue card
of course,
or the
keys
this,
was such a big,
that classic shit. And sometimes the game, I don't know why this happens, because the same thing happened with Turok 2. So in Turok 2, right, there's a game-breaking bug that has been in the game since the beginning, where if you collect a collectible or whatever, it's like a key to a door, or you don't collect it, sorry, before moving on, when you go back, the key won't be there anymore, and you can't progress the level. Mm-hmm. And Duke Nukem is full of game-breaking bugs as well. I don't know why when they're remaking them, they don't fix them. Like, there's a door, it was like, oh, you need the yellow card to get through, but I could just open the door, but then I couldn't get back because I didn't have the yellow card. But thank God, shit. You can just kill yourself and rewind up to wherever you needed to go. It's crazy. It's a crazy game. It's so, like, from kicking women to death who are trapped in horrible goo, to pissing everywhere, to every time you kill someone, Duke being like, eat shit and die. Stuff like that. It's incredible, though. It's like, it's... I don't want to go so early saying Game of the Year, but I think, Levins, there's a good chance you'll be playing Duke Nukem World Tour at some point in the immediate future. So I think it's inevitable.
Yeah, this game was developed by 3D Realms mm-hmm. and has come out through various publishers. So since 1996, it came out on MS-DOS for PC back then.
Hell yeah.
Then it was on Game.com. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a website. I don't know. Oh, no. You know what it was? It was a handheld game console released by Tiger Electronics.
Called Game.com.
The Game.com. Yeah.
That rolls.
It looks like a... Wow. Like, real bad. Anyway, it was on that. It was on Mac OS in 97, Sega Saturn in 97, PlayStation, mm-hmm. but then it was known as Duke Nukem Total Meltdown for some reason. In 1997, cool. It was also brought to Nintendo 64, Sega Mega Drive, but only in Brazil, Xbox Live Arcade in 2008, iOS in 2009, Android in 2011, Steam in 2013, PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita in 2015, Xbox One and PlayStation 4 in 2016, and in 2020, Nintendo Switch.
That's amazing. That rules.
So I'm all for you, like, choosing this as your game of the year, but I'm just looking at the other Duke Nukem games and thinking maybe some of these are worth you playing before you say this is your game of the
year. I think you're right. I think I should maybe dedicate for the time I spend in my life gaming. The next 2021 should be the year of Duke Nukem for me.
Specifically, the 2000 PlayStation release, Duke Nukem Land of the Babes, or
oh my god,
the 2005 mobile phone release, Duke Nukem Mobile 2 Bikini Project.
Oh my god. How many Duke Nukem games are there, and could I play one every week for the rest of the year.
Four in the main series: Duke Nukem, Duke Nukem 2, 3D, and
Duke
Forever.
Nukem 3D, Duke Nukem Forever.
Then we have four spin-offs: Duke Nukem Time to Kill, Duke Nukem Zero Hour, Duke Nukem Land of the Babes, and Duke Nukem Manhattan Project, which were released from 1998 to 2002 on many different platforms. Then we have the portable games. So Duke Nukem on the Game Boy Color, Duke Nukem Advance on the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, yeah.
Duke Nukem Mobile on the Tapwave Zodiac. Duke Nukem Mobile on mobile phones.
Can't just make up fake consoles like that.
Duke Nukem Mobile 2 Bikini Project, Duke Nukem Arena, which is a mobile game, and finally on the DS in 2011, Duke Nukem Critical Mass.
Wow.
There's also a large amount, can you believe, of cancelled Duke Nukem projects. As many games as I just told you that came out, there's as many that were cancelled.
That didn't come out. That's incredible. There's also if I wanted to really expand my options, there's Balls of Steel, a pinball game that has fantastic. A Duke Nukem tie-in, you know, as you would want. There's the game Death Rally, which also has a Duke Nukem tie-in. So there's a lot of Duke Nukem ancillary projects and games that I could play as well. Apparently, I'm just looking it up now. I didn't know this, but the last episode or world of Duke Nukem World Tour was created for the 20th anniversary that I'm playing. So it'll be interesting to see the difference there between that and this one.
I wonder if it's going to have references to like what the world is like in 2020. Like Duke Nukem gets COVID. Yeah,
he'd still be cool. He'd still be coughing cool.
Hurry up and get this over with. There's a new episode of Tiger King out.
Fuck.
He doesn't quite understand streaming. Duke, you could have watched it already by now.
You can watch them all at once. What are you talking about? Quiet, moron. Hey, you can't explain anything to the Duke. It's incredible. I think this is, you know, going by the percentage review style, I think this is probably I definitely want to finish the full story.
Okay.
I definitely think that's going to happen. If there's any extra shit, I don't know if I'm going to be looking into that necessarily. But I've done LA Meltdown is not called Hollywood Holocaust. That's the first level of LA Meltdown. So I've done LA Meltdown. Mm-hmm. I want to do Lunar Apocalypse, where Duke journeys to space and discovers that aliens have captured Earth's women.
Naturally.
I want to go, of course. Then I want to kill the Cycloid Emperor in episode 3, Shrapnel City. And then in episode 4, The Birth, where they use the captured women to birth an alien queen. And then Alien World Order, which is the one that was released for the... I want to finish it. You know, ever going to leave it all behind, you know. I love it. I'm a Duke Nukem man now. It's happened. I
mean, you're a Nuke man.
I'm a Nuke man. There's nothing wrong with that, but I'm a Nuke man.
Move over, Turok. There's a new polygonal face in town.
I will
and
say,
he can piss.
Exactly. You can't piss, Turok, and you barely talk. Duke Nukem's talking all the time. Frankly, he won't shut up, you know? It's an incredible game. I will say this, that the enemies in Turok 2 are much easier to hit and know where they are than the enemies in Duke Nukem Forever. I mean, Duke Nukem World Tour. But it's really my only criticism.
Okay, so answer me this. A new fighting game comes out, and you can... It's called Jackson's Dream, and you can. There's the three characters on the roster, and they are Turok, they are Duke Nukem, or Anakin Skywalker from Star Wars Podracer.
Oh shit!
Who are you picking?
Well, Anakin Skywalker is a little boy, so
he actually gets to fight in his Podracer.
Oh man! I couldn't pick. I would be sitting there still, like forever. I'd die there. I'd be like Jack Nicholson at the end of The Shining, frozen in place. There's no way I'd be able to pick.
Yeah,
playing Jackson's Dream for the fucking Tapwave Zodiac or whatever. Yeah.
Good memory.
Thank you. Yeah, there's no way I'd be able to pick between those. What character? Turok is silent and, you know, maybe fighting with that fucking, the brain borer or whatever.
Yep.
Duke Nukem is being like, eat shit and die. You're really pissing me off. And, you know, Anakin's being like, yippee, and running them both down with a pod race.
Duke Nukem's neutral B is piss.
Neutral B, kick woman to death. That's Duke. Why does he do that? Why did they put that in the game? And I can't leave them because they're in such obvious pain. It's horrible.
Why can't you just like get a hose and rinse the goop off?
Yeah, I don't know. Why can't I pull them out or anything?
Yeah.
Instead, I can't, you know, I mean, I could shoot them. I don't have to kick them to get to death. That's probably a bit intense. I could just shoot them. But either way, it feels bad. None of it feels good. What a game.
So that's a pretty great little journey back into back when video games were good.
Back when video games were good.
A good game trying to be an old game and an old game trying to be a new game, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Jackson, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of All
Thanks
the Small Games.
Thanks for having me.
If we want to hear you, you can on Plumbing the Death Star, Baseless Speculation, and of course the other video games podcast on Sans Pants Radio, Thumb Cramps. You host all three of those with Joel Dusha and Joel Zammit. What if you could choose to play as them in The Fighter?
Oh, that would be... Well, no, because killing those guys as either Duke, Turok, or Anakin would be just wonderful.
In a pod racer.
Yeah, running them down, hit and run. Yippee! Just across the street.
Okay,
he's got one move, neutral A.
I'm going to add one last fighter to the Jackson's dream on the...
Yeah.
On the Tap Wave Zodiac. and that is Watto from the menu screen of Star Wars. Oh!
I pick Watto every time. I'm a Watto main.
Watto main. That's great.
I main Watto. I main Watto in Jackson's dream for the Tap Wave Zodiac. You know?
Jackson, thanks so much for joining us. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. allthesmallgames@gmail.com is our email address. And we have a Patreon very soon. As soon as John's little infant allows it, we're going to record a new Patreon episode all about the game, The Stanley Parable. Have you ever played that one before?
Oh, nice. Jackson? No, but I see it. People tell me to play it. And I'm like, I don't think I want to.
Yeah,
but that's just me.
I'm not sure if you'd like it or not. Maybe you would.
Yeah.
We also have a Discord community that you can join via our Patreon as well. And we're on Facebook, facebook.com/allthesmallgames, and at Twitter, @allthesmallgame. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you to Jackson. And
anytime.
No thank you to John's baby.
Yeah, we're sick of it. Enough. Grow up.
Be five already. Hard. A very manageable five. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. See you next time.
I'm sorry about that, Levins. I am dumb. Let's go from the top. Yeah. I am dumb. I got a terrible brain, but it's fixed now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.